The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to Voss and Bonnie's My Wife Hates Me on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
She really hates him. It's really true. Why did she marry this jackass Jew? Some people say that opposites attract, but this seems more like a suicide pact. He's totally sober, she's not that drunk. He's really old and she's got some spunk. He's totally holy as an asinine bomb, and she's just a little less dumb. She really hates him, it's really true. But somewhere deep down, she loves him too.
We're on testing 1, 2, 3. Oh. 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. We are up and running. We are up and running. Testing. We are up and running.
It's important that we get this right this time.
Last week's podcast was, I heard, very staticky or something.
People didn't appreciate us talking on a speakerphone, for one thing.
Yeah, we can't do that anymore.
No more of that. And even though every week we start off by checking the levels. Test. Oh, somehow last week the levels were way off.
Yeah, but when I go test, I'm not really checking anything. I'm just going test.
Oh.
Well, I'm checking the computer levels. I'm not checking the levels on the audio box.
Oh. I did get mad at you. I was like, how could you? And then you said,
you thought you were a dog when you got mad?
I sometimes go, and then I bite your leg.
This is going to be a real hoot.
Oh, I've got my voices. So I got mad at you, and you were like, one wrong in 140 episodes. And it made me think, you're right. Fuck you, people who didn't like that last one. One wrong he got in 140.
Well, we don't have 140. We have about 130, I think.
Well, you lied to me.
We have about 130 episodes. And yeah, I'm sorry. I messed up one.
You messed up one. Big deal. Deal with it.
That's like if you had sex with 130 girls and one was upset. You go fuck yourself. There's 129
happy
girls.
I would never have sex with 130 girls, first of all.
I probably have in my life, but.
No, come on. Easily. That many?
Easily. I'm.
Easily.
Okay, before I met you, I was.
No, each one was a lot of work, I'm guessing.
No, if
not
I.
Not easily.
Easily. If I. When I met you, I was, like, say, 46.
No. I remember you told me.
How old?
Let's not talk about age. There's okay. A lot of baggage going on with age.
I'm 57 now.
Oh, God, here we go.
I've known you for 11 ages. Years. That's 46. Okay, say I started.
I remember you telling me you were 45. You were like, guess how old I am? Guess how old I am?
All right, 45.
And I was being nice. I was like, 32.
Okay, 45. Right?
Uh-huh.
So say I started having sex when I was 20. That's 25 years before you.
Uh-huh.
Even 5 years, 125 people.
But you didn't do 5 a year. You can't. It's not just like how many times you had sex.
Easily. 5 different girls a year?
Come on.
I was a fucking major comic.
Were you had sex with, like, people just on the road?
No, let's not talk about sex, because then we'll get mad and upset. And today is September
11th.
Remember
that girl, though, when she found out I was engaged to you, she called me. And she was like, he's hit on everyone.
Numbers game, and that's not true. She called you, went out of her way to call you and tell you that?
Yeah, I was really upset about it. She said that she was in Vegas with you or something, and then you were hitting on every girl.
No, we were sitting up top in the like,
you know who I'm
in
talking
the lounge.
About.
Yeah, we're sitting in the lounge. Jackie Cation.
Why would you say that loud?
Because she fucking ratted on me. Jackie Cation.
I was really mad at her. Who does that? Who tells somebody their fiance is a shit? Like, it doesn't, like, we weren't like best friends or anything. It wasn't like, she's like, I gotta look out for my best bud.
Well, I'm sure she was mad I didn't hit on her. And one night we weren't. We were all sitting up top in the lounge, fucking around with all the waitresses and girls that were about.
Oh my
what?
God!
I'm not holding back
anymore.
The
fallout from this is going to be tremendous.
Oh my God! Well, I think she's mad because I might have, at that time, like fucking trashed her on Tough Crowd, or you know, wasn't completely the nicest on Tough Crowd to her. And who knows? So she was probably remembers what an asshole I was on Tough Crowd. And goes, oh, okay, well, I'm going to call her and say that he did
this.
A
lot of people don't like you. So.
What do you mean a lot of people don't like me?
No, but I there are like a few people like that. That
don't like me.
They don't get your sense of humor.
Like, I'm so likable. Like, how could no one not like me?
How could no one not like you? That's true.
How could anybody not like me?
Right.
Once they get to know me, that's like I'm fucking like the best. You know what I mean? It's like ridiculous.
In what way? Like, what do you think your best qualities are? Well, I'm supportive. And be honest.
Yesterday, this open micer.
Okay, let's hear this.
I was at Stand Up New York in this open micer.
You were there last night?
No, when I was there over to Friday or Saturday. They had a pre-show or something. And I was talking to this open micer and his brother, who's some actor.
I love those, but can I just say this? Because it's hard to tell. Because you think anyone
He's doing an open mic show, the bringer show.
Okay, but that doesn't make him an open micer.
It makes him a bringer. That's less than an open micer.
No, because
micer.
You're always like, why are these open micers getting agents? It's because you think anyone has been doing it less than 10 years.
Well, this guy is clearly an open micer.
Okay, so he really was.
Then he came in and watched me on stage that night.
Well, already he's got points in your book, right?
Well, I mean, you know, if you want to learn, you watch the best. That's how I do.
Do you think you're the best?
I think I'm pretty good. I don't think I'm the best. I think on a 1 to 10 scale, I'm a 10.
I did an interview this morning for a British paper about women aren't funny. And I said that you were, in the history of comedy, the best crowd work comic.
I'm not. I'm in the top. Probably 100.
Who's better than you at crowd work?
Patrice was good at crowd work.
Not better than you.
He was pretty good.
And
Big Jay Oakerson's good at crowd work.
Not better than you.
What's his name that we used to always see at the airport? Always had a cigar in his mouth.
Not better than you.
Bob Zaney.
No.
He's pretty good.
Not better than you.
Jimmy Brogan.
Did he have anything to do with Zany's comedy clubs?
No. Oh. In the beginning, he did. Jimmy Brogan was good at crowd work, I heard.
Yes, a different style, sure. The only person better than you at crowd work, Paula Poundstone.
She's not even fucking close.
Oh my God.
Belzer was kind of good. Belzer was like one of the first to do it.
Listen.
Don Rickles.
Listen, hun.
I mean, I would be in the top 50. That would be make me happy. Or top 25.
That's not
25.
Often I give you compliments. You should
Thank
just
you.
Take it.
I would be in the top 25.
Why are you? This is the crazy thing about you. If I said you were in the top 25 of crowdwork comics, you'd be. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? Top five.
No.
It's like you just have to argue the other side of whatever. Okay, go ahead.
Top 25. Uh-huh. So I'm watching this open mic. I mean, this open mic is watching me. Then after the show, he's like, can I send you my...
If I was to say to the open micer, you want to watch top 25 crowdwork comics? Wouldn't even go in there. I mean, it doesn't sound good.
But then top 10. I guess in the top 10, maybe.
I wouldn't even... If somebody said to me, hey, top 10, one of the top 10 crowdwork comics in the world is in there, let me finish my Diet Coke here.
I'm not saying... I'm saying I'm probably in the top 10 or, you know, I'm bored with it. But anyhow... So the guy watching me after my show, he's like, can I send you this YouTube video of me and maybe get your opinion? I go, look, I'm going to tell you now. You've been doing it a year and a half.
Oh, my God. I don't need to see it to say you suck.
Yes, basically. I'm going to go. You're going to look back on this. So yesterday I was sitting.
That's the amazing thing, though, about comics now is like you tried to keep your comedy a secret until you were good enough to like I don't remember ever inviting people to come see me do stand up. I mean, I still don't really, but Can you imagine, like, having the balls to put stuff up on YouTube and everything in the beginning? I mean, that's the culture. That's what people do. But it's crazy to me.
Well, anyhow.
Yeah, like, they're always sending out videos, and they're making CDs well before, because everyone can make a CD now.
And they make CDs when they've been doing it a fucking week.
Yeah.
Who was it had four CDs?
No, don't. I can't say the name of that one.
Who was it?
No, it's a friend of mine.
A friend of yours?
Yeah, but they had four CDs long before they ever should have.
No,
a lot of
people did. I'm not talking about one of your friends. You didn't even know this. No, you didn't know. You didn't even know this. It was a guy. This guy had, he had like four CDs. I'm going, how do you have four? And then one other guy told me he had five. Oh, this radio host who's a comic said he had like four or five CDs. Maybe if you're a song parodies, it's easy to come up with four or five CDs. So this guy sends me,
you know, the Mitch Hedberg quote.
What?
I don't know it exactly, but it's,
then why would you say it?
Beware the comic that goes off for half an hour and writes 20 new minutes of material. Because it's impossible.
Oh. Well, yeah.
Oh, good. No, it's nice to know that we can have these intellectual conversations.
So the guy sends me, and I was sitting home yesterday killing time, and I watched his 8-minute clip.
You watched it?
Yes.
You. If I leave for any amount of time, what happens to you?
I go, what the hell? Let me watch it.
Oh, my God. Her. 8 minutes?
8 minutes.
Why would he put 8 minutes up? Oh, God.
So.
How was it?
He walks on stage. Good looking Italian. He's fucking, but he's wearing a suit like a fucking pit boss in Atlantic City. And the other team didn't address any of how he looks, but he walks on like a real
right,
Italian.
Like he's got confidence. Yeah.
He opens up with an airplane bit. You know, if the airplane crashes, seat flotation bit, you know, which was kind of semi-fun, even though the premise has been done 4 million fucking times.
Mm-hmm. What was the joke?
He's in the water, and he sees some guy paralyzed and eye hanging out going, what seat were you in? Making sure that was his cushion.
Oh.
I don't know. Okay. Dane did a subway, sitting on the subway bit. Chinese lady picking her nose, and the Chinese lady talking Chinese to him. Then he did a Whole Foods bit. Then he did, if a Guido was this, you know, like, not president, but
yeah.
So I wrote back to him. I go, look, you got
left. Oh no, I love that you're honest with people, because sometimes I just don't have the time or energy. I won't even watch it. I'll be like, it's great.
Okay.
Keep up the good work.
I wrote back.
I'm actually way worse than you, and people like me better because I'm a liar.
Because you're a liar.
Because I'm a full-blown asshole liar. And yet you're out there really trying to help people, telling them the truth. And right now, he's like at his buddy's house, like, what a fucking douchebag. And they're like trashing your comedy now. Like, what does he fucking know?
You know what? Let me see if I can find what I wrote to him.
Oh, my God.
What's that?
Like, that's an interesting thing. Like, how, you know, at this point, you're just the bearer of bad news.
I'm not. But you know what? How do you get better in life?
I know, but the truth is that people only give you stuff because they want to hear, for the most part. I'm sure there's exceptions, but they just want to hear it's great so that they can go around saying, like, Rich Voss thinks I'm great, you know. Did the guy write you back?
Yes.
Oh, he did. Oh, God, can't wait to hear this. Oh,
it probably won't be on this fucking email.
Like, this girl sent me a screenplay to read or whatever, and I'm going to read it and stuff. And, you know, I haven't gotten around to it yet. But part of me wants to just write her back, like, this is fantastic, and not read it. Is that wrong?
Yeah, because if she questions you on
it. If she emails me back to question me on it, I'll read whatever part she questioned and come up with an answer.
Hold on. I'm seeing if I can find it on my email here. Okay, folks, because it's on this
computer.
But
I won't do that. I'll read it.
Okay.
I'll read it.
What can we talk about as I'm looking for
it? Part of me wants to not read it.
What can we talk about? Today is, well, I don't want to, hold on.
Well, I did go to Hartford yesterday for an interesting thing.
Well, we're going to talk about Hartford. Just give me 1 second, and I think I could find what he wrote back.
Pistorius, not guilty.
I know. It's
Is that crazy?
It's almost insane. That
because I didn't read any of it. I just read the headline just now. But I guess it's because they felt like he really thought an intruder came in. Did you read it?
Yes. Well, that was his defense.
Right. So the judge bought that?
Well, but because they had no real evidence. Oh, here's what he wrote.
Well, they had evidence of the girl was dead. He was had a gun. The door was shot through.
Okay, let's see. Where did this guy... Oh, here. Right here. Let's see. Okay, here's what I wrote to him. You want to hear?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. You got laughs, which is great. The real deal, which is...
God, that's so uncomfortable and horrible. You got laughs, which is great.
Which
now,
is great.
Let me tell you every negative thing I thought of while watching.
This is what I wrote to a new comic to help him out. Let's see.
Okay,
here's the deal. You got laughs, which is great. The real deal, which is going to be tough to read, but if you stick with but if you stick with comedy, you will thank me in 5 to 10 years. Right? Okay. All the premises you did have been done a million times. Airplane seat cushions, subways, Whole Food, Wheel of Fortune. You were funny, but no one in the industry, if you want to move on, gives a fuck about that shit. Write about you, your family, your views. Then it becomes personal and original.
Mm.
You can't walk on stage looking like an Atlantic City pit boss and not address it. The Guido thing has been done since Guido Sarducci, which was 30 years ago. Who are you when you're hanging with your friends? Transfer that to the stage. You're doing well for as long as you've been doing it. Just keep writing. You might say, fuck him. That's okay. Just say this email, print it out. In 7 years, read it. I promise you'll say, fuck, he was right. Good luck, Voss.
I feel like I should write him because I disagree with some of the things you said to him in there.
Well, but he's not an observational comic. If you looked at him, you would go, he's not an observational type of guy. He's more of a kind of comic that would talk about his life, the way he looks. He's not like, you ever know that?
Mike Vecchione doesn't look like he's going to be an observational comic, and he actually is a great joke writer. And a great observational comic.
And nothing against Mike, who is, like you're saying, great. But how far is he advancing? How far? No.
Richard.
I'm not.
He's only not advancing as fast as some of the other guys is because he's actually an original.
Yes, he is. So he should be writing for a TV show. When it comes to comedy.
No.
I think when it comes to comedy, the industry wants your point of view or you.
I understand that.
Or you become a writer, and that's my...
I didn't see the guy, and I'm not going to see the guy. But I will say this.
Want me to show you what's clear?
I don't like when... There's a certain kind of comic, and it seems very East Coast-based a lot of times. It's all like honesty. But the truth is, you know, I could name a half a dozen great comedians where honesty is not... That's not what they're doing. They're not doing any kind of biographical comedy. You know, Dave Attell is telling jokes.
Yeah, but Dave Attell's jokes are almost his point of view in a obscure way.
Well,
okay, that wouldn't
himself.
Work for somebody.
He's being himself.
Okay, you're
I'm
right.
saying that.
That's
but,
all I'm
but,
saying is be
but
yourself.
You're saying no. You're saying talk about you.
Or
you don't
or,
have
oh,
to.
But those, I also said. Oh, I also said be you. Like when you're with your friends.
I get that was a good point. Look, you made some good points in the email.
And this is all my opinion.
Right, but and you're not gonna like some of the things I'm about to say right now, but trust me, in 10 years, you're going to look back on this conversation.
Well, should I add what he rebutted first? Should I add what he wrote
back?
Okay.
I just have one more thing to say about the email that you wrote also.
It wasn't mean.
I don't like when people say, these topics are off the table. Literally everything has been talked about before,
right.
Unless you want to, like, now we can only do jokes about the iPhone 6, because that's...
Okay, that's true.
You know
I've done airplane humor.
You should say you need a more unique take if you're going to talk about these topics or, you know, these have to have really... specific good punchlines to them or whatever.
Okay, but, I'll write them back a little.
Because no topic is off the table, in my
opinion. That's true.
You don't like poop jokes. I think they're hilarious. So, I mean, no topic is off the table.
I won't do a poop joke, I don't think. I think they're shitty. So, okay, he wrote back, "I can't thank you enough. This is great advice and well received. All I want to do is get better and better, and your advice is right on point. One last question. I know you mentioned that it's important to be comfortable on stage and wanted to hear your opinion on how you thought my confidence and comfort level on stage looked."
Oh, because he's like, Jesus, that was kind of hard to hear. Can you give me...
Did you notice that I plucked my nose hairs?
No, I'm not trying to be... Okay, I wasn't trying to be mean at all. That's it. I'm not trying to be mean.
What did you write him back?
I haven't written him back yet. Here, I'll just show you, just so you can see
what
you
should
like.
Write back now. Buzz off.
Okay, here's just so you can see what he looks like and tell me. Just tell me if he, you think he's.
This is as bad as doing speakerphone.
No, I'm not. I don't want the people to hear it. See.
Oh my god.
See.
Oh my god. He's really doing it like a tough guy character.
Okay. So
like he's a mobster.
Okay. Do you buy him doing observational stuff? Tell the truth.
No.
Okay, was I right?
Right,
then?
Like he's doing. It's weird. He's doing a full blown. I don't know what he's like off stage, but he's doing a full blown
like gangster,
Goodfellas character.
Okay, so do you?
He walks on stage. He tries to intimidate the audience, looking at them, and then he goes, "Shut up." That's how he opens.
Okay, so
and then
now,
he's like, "Hey, ever notice a seat cushion when you're flying?"
Okay, so was I right about what
you're
I
right about that? You're right about that, but. Once he starts wearing a t-shirt and jeans on stage and gives up the tough guy thing.
Well, then, okay.
Then those topics are back on the table.
But he'll see that in 7 years or 5 years.
He's actually wearing a vest.
Okay. Like from a three-piece
suit. It's like he just took off the jacket of a three-piece suit and went on stage.
I'm not sure.
He's been playing poker in the back a little bit. Now he's come out to do a little stand-up.
And he wasn't bad. He got laughs. What he did talk about, he was funny. He had great stage presence. He was confident.
What'd you think about my stage presence?
Okay, so do you agree what I wrote to him seems like it's more?
First of all, I can't believe this guy. I mean, this guy is going places because he got you. We've been given CDs and stuff everywhere we go. We throw them out the window when we're driving and stuff. Like, we're mean. One time, like, some guy, remember, he was a waiter, and we went to see him do stand-up at this club.
We didn't go on purpose to see him.
We did. I don't know why we did that. I think we thought we were going to get asked. I was pregnant at the time, remember?
No, we stopped in to do a guest spot.
I was feeling really sick. Maybe you did a guest spot or something. Then, like, he was like... I don't know. It seemed as though to me that he was doing coke in the bathroom or something. He was getting really jacked up, and then he went on, and it was awful. We left. And then the next night at the club, he was there, and he was like, "What'd you think of my set?" and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, "Oh, it was good," you know. And then he gave a CD of or a DVD of the set.
Like, well, that was on the road. We were on the road.
Yes, yeah. He gave us a DVD of... I go, don't give that to me. We went and saw it. And he was like really mad. I go try to give it to Rich. I go, go see if you have the balls to go try to give it to Rich. And he was like, "I'm just trying to get my career going," and whatever. But like, yeah, I was a fucking cunt about it. But the thing is like, we did go see you do some horrible, awful show where you got fucked up on coke to do your terrible jokes. And then you're going to make us watch it. What will we do with it? Oh, I'm good. I'm giving this right to the head of Comedy Central. This is going to the top. Like
did you say go give it to Rich?
I go, "I dare you. Go." He was getting really mad. So I was like, "Okay, do you have the balls to go give it to Rich? Go give it to Rich."
Well, so this guy.
And then another waitress like walked by and was like, gave me a look like, "What a bitch."
all the waiters and waitresses turned on us.
It wasn't the first time remember I used to do a joke about tipping the waitresses.
That was a different place.
No, this was a different place, but, and then a waitress. It was a joke about tipping. I can't remember, but it was, basically like the end premise was, you know, don't tip. But the waitress came up to me in the kitchen area and goes, "I'll fucking stab you if you do that joke again."
No, she did.
Yeah. And I had to say to the club owner, like, "Can you get the waitress to not talk to me anymore? Can you have that? Can you make him give a message or something?"
She said, I'll stab you.
I'll fucking stab
you.
She
didn't say that.
Yeah, no, she wasn't joking. It wasn't like this joke, like, it was like a threat, like literally a threat. So,
was she a tough looking girl, like tattoos or beaten down ex drug addict type?
A lot of the comedy club waitresses are. The ones that are career comedy club waitresses are tough bitches.
So, okay, now was I pretty much on point with my...
Oh, my God. Yeah, your confidence level was great, dude. Is that... You're like him, like...
No, I mean, did I write... Because I'm not trying to be mean, I'm trying to be helpful.
No, you're right. I just get...
Okay.
You know, I just feel like every comedy...
Let's stop.
Comedy...
Let's stop. You said I'm right. Let's just stop here.
No. I'm just...
No, go ahead. I'm just fucking with you. I'm being like in a court of law.
I shouldn't have an opinion about any of this comedy stuff. Why would I have an opinion about comedy?
I like when you move your head and you... She really said, "I'll stab you." Who? What kind of waitress?
Don't try to get off the topic. I'll stab you, motherfucker.
People just heard you threaten me. You know that I could call the police right now.
Call them. You know what? You know what jail would be like to me? Home.
Whoa. Okay, I'll write back to him. Yeah, you were confident.
Whoa. Yeah.
And I'll do it later. Well, so, you know, here's the thing.
We were both talking at the same time.
You go. It's
you're
my...
much more important.
No,
than
go
I
ahead.
Am.
I'm
you're
sorry.
Wearing your golf attire. How could I fail to respect you as a comedian right now?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your line. Go ahead. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
I'm saying this is what the advice to people always is. You know, speak from your heart and have a lot of confidence, which are two of the most bullshit pieces of advice to do stand up. There's no,
that's
you know,
true.
I've heard people say all the time, like, if a guy doesn't have confidence, that's it. He's done. You write him off. Just go up there and, you know, people are like fake.
No,
it.
You don't have to be confident. Walk out like,
no, I know. But like
in your
There's been solid, good comics that have actually, their insecurity or whatever is the thing that makes the audience like that.
Yes, Woody Allen's insecurity made Woody Allen.
Yes.
Woody Allen. But you don't think he was confident knowing that he,
I'm just
you don't
saying
think his
yeah, I know, but that's getting to a layer underneath
yes.
that a regular idiot booker doesn't understand. Okay. They
yes.
would say at this point to Woody Allen, "You got to get up there and just say your jokes with confidence."
No,
that's what you
got
to do.
No, he's Woody Allen's a character. He's himself. And he's probably that neurotic in real life. I don't know. I never met him. But he had to know he was brilliant and a genius.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure, you
so
know.
His confidence comes from knowing that. Okay, this guy...
I'm sure he had all kinds of eight-year-olds tell him how great he was, and that helped boost his confidence.
This guy right here is overconfident.
Right. I'm saying...
He was overconfident.
I'm just saying the two most bullshit pieces of advice that comics get given is, you know, be autobiographical... And be confident, which, you know, Steve Martin was anything.
You're right, but
autobiographical. But he was one of the greatest comics that.
Everything changes. Times. Look at.
I know, but it's still. If you're look at Mitch Hedberg, he wasn't autobiographical.
Not at all. But
you can be a great. People will sit there and listen to great jokes.
You're right, and you're right. I listen to Jeselnik, and I think he's a great writer. Okay. But it's still him. It's still his warped sense of humor. Same
I agree,
Mitch.
But that is, but th- again,
that's being yourself.
I agree, but that's not what people say. That's not every bit of advice given on Last Comic Standing this season was, you talk about your life, talk about your, I don't feel like I'm getting to know you. It's like, it's
well,
a
every
bullshit
comic, that's
piece
not true
of
with
advice.
Them.
And it's, you know, sure, if you want to get deeper, and if they, if those judges were to go one more step deeper and say, you know, even if the yeah. jokes are your sense of humor, that's.
Yeah, like if I watched Mitch Hedberg, I would know he's offbeat.
Like if you're
weird.
Just listening to the radio, you would be yeah. like,
I could, what?
No, nothing.
If you're just listening to radio, what?
You would know if it's Mitch Hedberg or not, wouldn't you?
Not now. No, there's so many people that sound like Mitch Hedberg.
That's what I was gonna say. Why did you on say the?
Oh no, I mean I turned on the radio the other day. I'm going, whoa, and it wasn't Mitch. I'm going. I've heard
who
probably,
was it?
I don't know, because I've heard like three or four comics that really sound like Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah.
I've heard, I'm not lying.
And
I've listened, you know, and I never really listen to comedy, but now in the car that I have Sirius, I'll flip through the comedy channels once in a while. And I don't know. I mean, I've laughed like two or three times, really, you know, Maria Bamford made me laugh. Anthony Jeselnik made me laugh. You know, there's a couple that make you laugh. And then there's some you go, huh, that's good. That's mm-hmm. good. But, you know, like two or three I really laughed at. Jeselnik, Maria Bamford, who else? Somebody else.
There was a Christian comic on this. I thought it was funny.
Nikki Glaser.
Yeah.
Nikki
yeah,
Glaser. I laughed at her. I laughed. She had a couple bits. I'm going, oh, that's really. And I was laughing.
Right.
Which, you know, to get a comic by himself in the car to kind of laugh. It's kind of hard.
Mm-hmm.
Any comic. So that's where I stand. I stand. I believe you being yourself doesn't mean you have to talk about your life. It's you being who you are. Unless you're like an Emo Phillips. I don't think Emo Phillips was that fucking weird. Maybe he was in real life. I don't know. I never met him. I met him once towards the end. So I don't know.
But it's a character that... okay, like Judah Friedlander.
Yes, he's...
You know, well, I mean, he likes doing that character, and he likes doing it in real life, too, you know. But is that really who he is? No, when you start talking to him, there's a whole huge person under there.
Yeah,
but you still buy into it. You love it. It's like, it's fun
but
to listen to.
But you can see him as that character. You know what I mean? That character wouldn't work
right,
for
but I mean,
else.
You're splitting hairs at some point, like...
I don't know. What I think the advice I gave this guy was pretty good advice.
We're not talking about you and your advice anymore. We're talking about other fucking dumb advice that people give comedians, okay?
Well,
people
you know, who
you know
you
what you know what some of the, you know what's you want to hear some of the advice that I got?
But wait, but okay.
Club owners always tell me smile more. That was one I got all the time. Smile more, smile more, smile more, smile more. And then I also got wear a scarf. Okay, a pretty scarf, something colorful.
You got really? Wear a scarf?
Yes, like a lady scarf. Somebody was like, "Oh God!"
I wouldn't mind.
The amount of
I wouldn't mind seeing you wear a scarf from a ceiling beam.
The amount of advice I got as to what my outward appearance should be was phenomenal. I wish I had written it all down or compiled it in some way. I should put that in my book.
What, wear a scarf?
Like the
call
advice,
the book, wear a scarf.
The advice that I got, the bad advice that I got.
Well, here's the difference. Advice from a club owner, a manager, an agent, a booker means dick. But when you get advice from a headliner, when you're a new comic, if you were a new comic, brand new, and was talking to like... Roseanne Barr or Elaine
Boozler. I
got
Boozler. Advice from comics, from headliners that always helped.
Always helped.
Yeah.
Always helped.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also part of that was just the tiny bit of confidence it gave you that somebody
yes. okay.
Up there was paying attention to me. No, nobody's denying that you did the wrong. I don't know why you're arguing it. Nobody said that was bad. You're terrible. I'm now talking about something completely unrelated to you, Rich.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about comedy.
Well, then why do you keep bringing it back to, so then what about this advice I gave? How about this? Then I did the right thing. Then I'm a good person.
I'm
Look at me.
I'm not talking about him. I'm saying.
But you just turned it around. around.
No, I didn't turn around. So quit looking at it to go a layer under. What I'm saying is,
don't use my phrases.
Go one more, go two layers under. What I'm saying is, you go, that advice is all bullshit. When people give you, you know, be part of it. No, yeah, that advice is bullshit if it's coming from a club owner, a manager, or booker. But when advice is coming from a headliner, it's not bullshit because a headliner.
Well, look, if a headliner told me to wear a dress, I would kind of think.
Yeah, but they wouldn't. They never did.
Right, no.
A good headliner. Okay, when I first started comedy, David Shea was a major headliner. He did Carson like 14 fucking times. David Shea was great, great writer. And I said to him, "What? Any advice?" He said, "Yeah, don't do props." That's all he said. He said, "Don't do props." And this is way back when. I guess prop acts were really looked down on. And he said, "Don't do props." So guess what? I didn't do props. Not that I was going to do props. So, yeah, you don't usually get bad advice from
you might have been the greatest. You would have been.
I could have been fucking celery top.
Celery top. There's been no acerbic prop act, has there?
What do you mean? I don't know what that means.
A ball-busting prop act, like a crowd, dealing with the crowd, being mean prop act. That could have been a genius. That guy might have been wrong.
Well, I don't think I would have been.
I'm not against prop acts.
Neither am I.
Part of me wants to be a prop act.
I think Carrot Top's fucking funny, man.
I might start doing props. Is it too late for me?
We should go up as a comedy team prop act. I remember Wid. I used to watch Wid. You never seen him. He was an unbelievable prop act. He used to bring his props in. You know those bins, laundry bins that you roll in that you see in the hotel? He had like four of them full of props that he would wheel in, and he would just pick up stuff and throw it, you know. They were all pun props, pretty
much.
But
that's the thing, isn't it? You gotta take those around.
And then clean it up at the end of the night. He had to
too
clean
much
up.
Work.
It took forever.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on and talk about.
And then in between shows, like a lot of clubs don't have like a curtain or something that goes in. You just got to, in front of everyone leaving, you've got to be out there.
They're usually the headliner. Who's following that?
No, I know, but still, the audience, you know, they don't leave immediately. You got to be out there in front of them.
Cleaning them.
Cleaning up your stuff.
Like you
end on, woo, good night, Cincinnati, woo. And then picking up your thing, sweeping, you know.
Bonnie spent a weekend with a.
Don't.
Not the weekend.
She doesn't want.
Oh, I know. Bonnie spent. Not the weekend.
Well,
Tuesday. What? No, of course not.
Okay.
Bonnie spent Tuesday night with an author in Hartford.
Yeah.
Bonnie
She gave a speech.
Gave a speech. Bonnie drove up to Hartford, okay, on her little one day trip because. This author is brilliant, wrote a bunch of books, and Bonnie's trying to work with her on something. So Bonnie went to meet her, you know, and of course, when you go meet a stranger, you're going to spend the night in her room with her. I mean, I would. I mean, like, if I
Look,
was going to meet...
We've been working on this thing for a while, so we've been emailing and talking on the phone a lot, but I've never met her in person. But then she was like, "You want to stay in my hotel room? I have two beds." And I said, "Yeah," because I'm a creep and didn't feel like spending money. And, you know, I mean, I was thinking, like, how much worse could it be than, like, meeting a comic and having to, like, be in a condo with them, you know?
No, because you could close the door in your condo room.
Right.
And lock it. And if you went on the road with a comic and they said you had to split a hotel room,
well, it's different.
You?
Like, girls are different. Like, I mean, you're not going to get raped by a girl. I mean.
Well, obviously, you've never been to female prison, to a woman's prison. I guess you didn't watch any of the... There was no rape in Orange is whatever. Orange and Black.
You know what I realized? There's no rape and there's no workout room. Like
in Orange is the New Black?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Orange is the New Black.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was no rape or workout room. What kind of fucking...
What kind of prison is
all
that?
All the lesbian scenes, they wanted to do it.
Yeah, they were into it.
They were all into it.
Written by a woman because every fucking lesbian scene was like, hey, I think you're pretty. Oh, me too.
Let's go.
Here's a flower. Oh, good.
Let's go lap Bush in the chapel.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Very gentle.
It was like a county, and even a county jail.
But they do try to pretend like it's real. No, this is some real shit right here. Really?
So you spent, and then you went out to dinner. Well, you watched her do her speech, right?
I watched her do her speech at the Mark Twain House.
This lady knows everybody. I mean, she's a...
Well, she's a brilliant woman. It's like, I'm sure... The one good thing is that she talks a lot, so I never have to quite show off my ignorance, you know? So she fills in a lot of blanks for me, but... She was a journalist for the New York Times, the Washington Post, all these different things, and she's interviewed everybody.
The Beatles.
Don't, you're giving away her age.
No, what are you kidding? She interviewed the Beatles when she was 14, right? She interviewed many presidents.
Yes,
Harry Truman.
She knows everything about politics. She knows. She literally knows everything about everything. And then,
that's fantastic. So did you have a good time? You took her back to New York, had lunch with our manager.
Yeah, we drove back to New York together.
Did our
manager? My manager.
Did he wear his Calvin Klein sport coat?
He took us to a kosher Jewish restaurant.
Orthodox? No, kosher, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny that...
Why would he go there?
I don't know. He heard that it was good, and then he like... When you went in there, you saw a lot of yarmulkes and... Like, literally, it's a sea of yarmulkes. And then...
It's like...
And then he didn't realize it was a kosher restaurant. And then Myra, the author, asked for cheese on her burger. And they were like, no cheese. How dare you?
No dairy product.
But she was like, no cheese? Nowhere in the place you have cheese? They were like, no cheese.
That's the name of the restaurant.
No cheese. Yeah.
Well, that's good that you went.
So it was fun.
And did I fall apart watching Raina?
Oh, she's very liberal, and she kept asking, will I like your husband?
I'm not conservative.
I know, but she won't like you.
She would like me because I know how
she
to
She kept saying all the comedians that she didn't like. Like, she doesn't like Don Rickles. She doesn't like anybody. I had to, hide a good portion of myself. You know, like, she was like, do you talk to the audience? I'm like, I'm never mean. You know, I do, but I'm never me.
All she has to do is go look at some clips.
I don't have anything. I don't have anything on anywhere. So,
all right.
There's that.
I.
That's one good. That's one good thing about keeping your career quiet.
I had a dream last night.
Like, what if she found the podcast? That's the thing. Like, I would never want to tell her about the podcast.
Don't worry. No one knows about our podcast. This is not traveling through Washington, the political... this podcast is not up on the hill in Washington.
Well, no, she found out I did Red Eye on Fox.
You probably told her.
Well, I was actually telling...
She found out with investigative reporting. Guess what I was on.
Yeah, she's a journalist. She knows nothing about me. She's done no investigating. But no, the guy... Who books the Mark Twain House said that he wanted Greg Gutfeld to speak there. And I was like, oh, I love him, you know. And she's like, how do you know him? And then I go, oh, sometimes I do this show called Red Eye that he hosts. And she's like, why would you do that? She got quite upset about it.
But she
funny.
Was.
She's a character.
She was, because she's very left, very liberal.
Very liberal.
But she, you said...
I don't want to give away all their politics, so...
Okay, we'll move on. Want me to tell you about my dream last night?
Yeah.
I had a dream. And at one point in this dream, okay, we're sitting outside, me and you, and this model... You know, you're going to have to throw a mango out in the middle of the podcast? That looked like a jungle pussy, that fucking mango. The dark area right there. Like a dark, horrible.
A jungle pussy? What kind of... This is the kind of thing Myra hates.
What is it?
Okay.
I wasn't being a racist. I wasn't saying white
really?
Or black. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What else could that possibly mean?
For somebody that's politically correct or a panderer or whatever, it can mean a racist. I just meant like...
But what is a jungle pussy? What is a jungle pussy?
It looked like...
Oh, the jungle. The pussy yes. is the jungle.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you better be careful.
Well, listen.
Because you've got enough other racist comments.
I've never said a racist comment.
That.
Name one racist comment I've ever said. Okay? I've never.
Are you fucking kidding me?
What? Go ahead. Name one. That's so funny that everybody accuses people of doing things and they have no proof. And they have no...
Oh, you say black people don't tip?
No, I don't.
In your act?
No. I said I saw a black person tipping. That doesn't mean all. It means A. And, yeah, that's not racist when it's fact. 80%, if you look up statistics online, 80% of black people don't tip. That doesn't... 80% of Europeans don't tip. That doesn't make me a racist. I'm just giving facts. That's all. You know, if I said... black people don't tip, and then they steal silverware. That would be racist.
You say stuff like when a black guy gets up in the audience, you go, "Don't fuck with my car," and then you say stuff like, "I make him clap, so I know he's not stealing anything."
Yeah, someone else did
my
fucking joke. Did that joke that I did? I did that 25 years ago.
Who?
I don't know.
Well, you just did your thing that you fucking hate people doing.
What?
I've been closing with that bit for...
I didn't close with it.
I know, but you're...
What?
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, God. You're so... I can't talk to you.
So I had a dream.
So did I. And now it's dead.
I had a dream, and all of a sudden me and you were sitting outside, and this, like, 6 foot... She's about 6 foot, really tall, light skin. I wasn't sure if she was black or white, but she was kind of light skin. Came walking outside, and you went, "Look how beautiful she is." And I go, "Yeah." And then I remembered that I was making out with her the night before, and I don't know why, but, you know, I was just acting like I first met her. And then we're all talking, and she started rubbing my hair. And I'm going, "Why is she rubbing my hair in front of my wife?" But I made out with her the night before, a 6'2" model. How do you like that?
So... The purpose of you telling this is
that I could get a 6'2" model
in your own dream.
Yeah, in my own dream.
Wow, in your own dream, she won't say no to you. Well, that's fantastic. Good to know your psyche is healthy and.
All right, we got to wrap this up. Anyhow, where are you this weekend?
I'm at Bananas in Hasbrook Heights. One show Friday, 9 p.m. Two shows Saturday.
Do you know who's working? Who's opening for you?
I have no idea. Who.
I always ask.
I know, and I was going to. I was even going to try to bring my own opener, but I forgot.
So Friday and Saturday, Bananas, Hasbrook Heights, Bonnie. I will be tonight at Coyote. Well, this won't even go up tonight. Saturday night, Marissa's. Marissa's in Trumbull, Connecticut.
Oh, I've done that.
Yeah, it's not bad. I actually like it for a... last minute gig. Friday, we moved Friday at the Chance in Poughkeepsie. We moved that gig. So this Saturday, Marissa's in Trumbull. Get Women Aren't Funny on iTunes. Nothing but great.
I don't
want to
retweet all the positive reviews because it's annoying to people. But there's been a lot of positive, like people saying, yes. "Hey, this is really good. So you should just try it."
Yeah, take a look. All right, listen. Today's 9/11. Do not forget. Do not forget. Always remember, and just say a prayer or something.
If you enjoyed My Wife Hates Me, subscribe and check out all the great podcasts at riotcast.com.
She really hates him. It's really true. Why did she marry this jackass Jew? Some people say that opposites attract, but this seems more like a suicide pact. He's totally sober, she's not that drunk. He's really old and she's got some spunk. He's totally holy as an asinine bomb, and she's just a little less dumb. She really hates him, it's really true. That somewhere deep down, she loves him too.